go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul.
Could we go but to the Lord? There's times that nobody else has got anything to say to you, got nothing they can do for you. We can offer words of encouragement. Sometimes our problems are just, we just got to take them to the Lord. What better place could you take them than to the Lord? Isn't it good to be in the house of God this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? You appreciate the word of the Lord? Such an encouraging message last night. Praise the Lord. Just so glad that the Lord speaks to us from His Word, and we love to hear it, and I know He's going to speak to us again today. So good to see you. Glad you're here. Raining on the outside this morning. I hope it rains on the inside too. I believe it will. How many of you come to receive something from the Lord this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church this morning. Play some more of that if you will this morning, brethren. Good hand clap of praise. You love Him with all your heart this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests this morning. received word last night that Assistant Pastor Roger Glantz from the Apostolic Tabernacle over in Newton, North Carolina, had passed away yesterday. And some of you may know the situation, know him or know that assembly. And they're just asking that we would pray for the family, pray for the church family as they go through this time, that the Lord would just be with them, comfort their hearts. Also, my sister's grandson, Noah Garland, was in a very serious automobile accident and was hurt not very, very badly, but received a concussion and some bruises and scrapes. Just thanking the Lord that he was spared. He's lost his vehicle, but he saved his life, and we want to praise the Lord for that. And they want you just to know that and to praise the Lord with them and continue to remember him in prayer. Please pray for a co-worker's husband who's in the intensive care unit. The Lord knows all about that need. Brother Randy Walton sends this in to please pray for Robbie Long, who has a lung disease. He's very weak and needs a healing touch from the Lord. So let's remember that as we pray today. I want to pray for Sister Deanna and Brother Jerry Glenn. They traveled all night going to Ohio. Sister Deanna's mother is non-responsive and all the family has been called in. They pray for the will of the Lord in this situation. So let's remember that request this morning. Brother Fred Perry says to pray for Chloe. That's my brother Perry's granddaughter. She has a cataract. Will be facing cataract surgery. So they're asking that we would pray for that need this morning. As we pray, let's just commit that unto the Lord. Sean Mill sends this in. Sister Beatrice Kilburn from Florida will be receiving a medical test on Thursday. Please pray that all will be well. Also, Sister Beatrice Kilburn's friend Beth has been diagnosed with cancer, has been suffering from depression, so let's remember that need. Also, their son Zion woke up sick this morning, needs healing in his body, and they're just asking that we would remember those needs. Sister Tamika sends those in, so let's pray for that need. Brother Carter Lawson says, remember my sister Clara Moore. She is having a rough time, needs our prayers. Also, remember a brother in the Lord that is having family problems, needs prayer. So let's remember those needs today as we pray. Nadine Finch says to please pray for my sister. She has cancer, and the doctors say there is nothing they can do. So let's remember that need as we pray. Brother Terry Horn wants us to continue to remember Sister Alice this morning, still sick with a cold and congestion. So let's pray that she'll be touched this morning as we pray. Brother Amos wants us to remember Sister Lisa. She is at home sick this morning, needs healing in her body. Also, let's continue to pray for Sister Sharon Ward. She's in rehab, suffering from some back problems. So let's just pray that the Lord would give her healing in her body. We know he's more than able. And we want to say again this morning, Brother Chuck and Sister Tammy, they want to praise the Lord. They were in a car accident, turned their car completely over on its top, and they both came out with just a few bruises and a little bit sore, but the Lord spared their life, and we want to praise the Lord for that this morning. Life is so fragile. Life is so precious. You know what? Everybody in this room, you're one phone call away from your life changing forever. And how we just need to appreciate the gift of life. How God is so mindful of us. How he watches over you and me when we're not even aware of it. I praise him for that, don't you? You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing that little chorus one more time just before we pray. Brother Daniel Nunley, is he here this morning? I don't know if Brother Daniel's in the service or not. I don't see him this morning. So we just, Brother Wes, when we get ready to pray, if you just come pray over these prayer requests this morning, we'll just commit these things unto the Lord. Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, I am so glad to be a believer. Somebody say, I am so glad to be a believer. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart. Oh, tell me where could I go? Yes, where? A refuge for my soul. the West come this morning. I don't have anything written down on it, but we certainly want to continue to pray for the meetings out in Arizona. The Lord just been moving in a wonderful way, and a lot of folks will be traveling back home. Also, my sister's son, Mark Davis, he had surgery on his back, been experiencing some great difficulty with the numbness in his leg. Want to remember him in prayer, and their Mark and Rochelle's daughter, Kenzie, she's suffering from extremely high diabetes, blood sugar, I think was like nearly 500 day before yesterday. She's just a teenager. So pray for those needs if you would. We've all got situations we could tell about and needs, but just remember those that you can think of. Pray that God will touch them this morning. Brother West, we appreciate you, buddy. God bless you.
Let's bow our heads. Lord, there's so many things that the body's facing right now, and as always, Lord, in this dark world that we are being led through, we face, you know, there's families here that have faced death. There's ones that are coming up to the doorway of it, Lord, with family members. There's people who are sick and in pain, who are facing surgery, who are facing dreadful things like cancer and people who need traveling mercy, Lord. But yet through all this darkness and through all this misery and everything, we can remember one thing. We're being led by a shepherd that cannot be broken, that cannot be defeated, that will never change. We're being led through this to a day where none of these things will ever come against us again. Our destination is in sight, Lord. And we're so grateful for that. I'm so grateful that we can hold these requests up right now. And as our shepherd, you're going to come to us. You're going to address each one of these. These are all important to you, Lord. Each and everything that everybody's facing. But there's also testimonies and victories, Lord. Like our brother and sister who were spared from the car wreck, Lord. Lord, we can praise you all the way through the darkness. And nothing can stand in our way and nothing can stop us, because this body's going to make it to the very end. Lord, we thank you for the way that you heal us and you help us, the way you give us revelation, the way, Lord, that you forgive us and help us to heal, Lord, not just physically, but spiritually, Lord, the way that you raise us up and that you never forget us, you never forsake us, you never leave us behind. Lord, even when we have turned our backs on you, you have waited patiently and led us gently back to your side, Lord, in times past through our lives. Each and every one of us today here is a testimony of the power of the Holy Ghost and the power that you can have over a human life to lead us gently, even when we don't deserve it, back to the truth and back to you and through all this darkness, Lord. Lord, we thank you for everything that you're doing. We thank you for the revelation you give us, for the word you bring us. We thank you, Lord, for the servant who's back there waiting right now to come out and bring the word. Lord, I know that though he may be tired, he may be weak, Lord, he may be worn out, you are made perfect through our weakness. You are manifested as the truth and the way and the life, Lord, even through frail humanity. And I ask you, Lord, to give our brother strength and to come out, Lord, and perform the miracle once again of the mighty God speaking through the lips of man. Lord, we look forward to this with faith. We count on it, Lord. We depend on it. We rest in it, Lord, with all of our hearts. We thank you for everything that you're doing, Lord. And we thank you for what you're bringing us to. And Lord, we just turn this entire service over to you and ask you to have full control. We ask you to forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings, our iniquity, anything that might stand between us and you. Lord, we just ask you to hold tight, Lord, as we try to hold tight back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you. Let's just sing this little chorus together this morning just before we do our congregational. I'm just so blessed by some of the quotes and some of the things that Brother David brought us last night. Saved, to be saved according to the divine purpose and the divine will of God. And you put yourself in this world, and this earth is one of the smallest universes that there is in comparison with other planets. But to put you in this big old world, lost creature without God, but according to his divine purpose and his divine will, he reached way down in wherever state you was at, whatever town you lived in, whatever subdivision you was a part of, whatever house in that subdivision you lived in, and picked you and revealed this glorious truth. According to his divine purpose And I love this part about it more than anything. It was for his divine purpose. But brother, we get all the benefits. We get eternal life out of it. Now how do you beat a deal like that? Like Brother Phil Goose told me on our way walking in this morning, how could we not love him with everything that's within us, with every fiber we've got? How could we not love him and want to serve him with everything we've got? He saved us according to his divine purpose, but you get all the benefits. You get eternal life out of it. He so wanted to spend eternity and live in eternity with you that he saved you in your lost, undone, wretched condition and brought you to eternal life. He wanted to live with you that bad that he picked you out of whatever sin we were in. And some of us, we were in terrible shape. We were lost. According to his divine purpose, he picked me. And he picked you. Do you love him with all your heart this morning? Give him one more hand clap of praise. Let's sing, "I'm Gonna Make It." You're gonna make it. He's done established it. You are gonna make it. Yes, I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I would. I'll keep on trusting that he's working everything for my good.
He walks beside me.
Hallelujah.
And heaven is in my view.
Oh, yes, now
I'm gonna make it through.
I want you to sing with all you've got. Yes, I'm real big hand clap of praise. You love him with everything you've got this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, come this morning. Let's receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here in this service today, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Just a real honor to get to be in the house of God today. Amen. Let's sing this song this morning. God delivers again. It's an old song, been sung for a long, long time. We've got a couple of specials. Brother Fred Perry is going to sing. Sister Savannah Ward is going to sing. If they'll both come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing for us here just in a minute. But let's sing this song this morning. God delivers again. I don't know. It's been a long time since we've tried to sing it, but let's see if we can do it. Standing there at the Red Sea, God's people began to complain. Soon Pharaoh and his mighty army, they'd take us in bondage again. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Jesus cried, then God parted the waters and they crossed to the other side. Yes, my God delivers again. Oh, my God delivers again. When it seems that all Oh. Fred come sing for us this morning. Brother Fred, come sing. You can be seated this morning. Let's give our singers a hand this morning as they sing for you at this time.
You know, the Lord took a thousands and thousands of years to write this song. And he said down there, and that day, there'll be a little lamb that I need it. My little wife will sing a love song back to me. This song is called Faithful and True. And as I was laying in bed at 3:30 this morning, my feet burned me so bad. I can't walk on my feet, Lord. And then I remembered, I said, Lord, you're the faithful and you're the true. And all the burning went out of my feet. So that's why I sing with all my heart and everything that's in me. I've been practicing for about 2 months on this, so I hope you like it. And they took my king before the rulers of the world, and they crucified the one that lives inside of me. Yet he was faithful and true to see Calvary all the way through. Oh, faithful and true. Oh, I love you. Oh, faithful and true. I want to be like you. You had to face cruel Calvary's tree so your word could be found in me. Oh, faithful and true. Oh, how I need you. Oh, faithful and true. Oh, I love you. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's your sinless nature that gives me rest. And no matter what others see, Calvary's tree, so your word could be found in me. Oh, faithful and true. Oh, how I need you. Oh, faithful and true. I love you. And now he sent us a prophet to reveal all the mystery, and no longer in darkness, for his bride can see. For he is the faithful, and he is the true. O Heavenly Father, we're just waiting for you. Cruel Calvary's tree, so your word could be found in me. Oh, faithful and true. Oh, how I need you. Oh, faithful and true. Oh, I love you.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for families, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity, we pray for your mighty to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear a spoken need, you love us way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Pray for wisdom, for your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. To believe. 'Cause what if you your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know the pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. It's not our home. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights were what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if trials of this life were in the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?
Praise the Lord. Let's stand this morning, if you will. Appreciate our singing today. Let's get right on into the service. The hour's moving right on by. Brother David's going to come bring us the word of the Lord. We're going to pray for him. Let's sing this little chorus as he gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord this morning. Heaven must be a beautiful place. I know that heaven must be a beautiful place. I know that heaven must be a beautiful place, and it's filled with God's amazing grace. I'm on my way home. Don't you wanna go? I'm on my way home. Don't you wanna go? Yes, I'm on my way home. Don't you wanna go? 'Cause now I've got a home on that beautiful shore. A beautiful place. Bless you, buddy. Appreciate you, Brother David.
Don't you want to go to that land, brother? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Oh, yes, I do. Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound. Oh, I'm gonna go to that land. Yes, I'm gonna go to that land. I'm gonna go to that land where I'm bound. Yes, I am. I'm gonna go to that land. I'm gonna go by God's grace to that land. I'm gonna go to that land where I'm bound. Amen. I trust you believe you're going there. No matter what Satan tries to do, we're going there. Why, Brother David? God purposed it within me already. Brother, I've done been seen in the vision. I've already been seen at the end of the book. I've already been seen as a conqueror. You've already been seen as an overcomer. Now what are we doing? We're just fulfilling what God had in his mind before the world ever began. Amen. God bless you this morning. While you're standing, I'm going to invite you into the scripture, the book of Songs of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2. I want to remind you, Brother Donnie had texted me and asked me to send you greetings from him. So we just want to remember the services there in Arizona today. I'm sure they're having just a tremendous time in the Lord. And you get that much firepower under one roof, something's going to happen. I almost felt sorry for the devil. Lord have mercy. They said there was an earthquake out in Arizona, so I think I know what it started from. Amen. Praise God. I appreciate it. If you've ever been in an earthquake, it's one of the scariest things you've ever been in. I was in Chile here the other day, and they'd had an earthquake around 6-something magnitude. And I thought, Lord, why me? Every time I go somewhere, earthquakes. Earthquakes. I was in Mexico last Easter on Friday morning, Good Friday. I was just come out of the shower, and that building got to shaking. And I looked, and I mean, this thing is swaying. Of course, you know me. I was scared to death. I thought you was a believer. I am a believer. My flesh, my humanity was scared. I went running out of that building like a coward. Amen. But I trust that, of course, it didn't interfere with the service. They went right on and had church. And so, of course, it took me a while to get there. And they sang for about 2.5 hours. So I was able to get myself back together to go preach to them. But I tell you, I believe there's another earthquake. And it's caused by people believing the Word of God. And this earth is coming into a ripening place that God's going to burn it over. It's only because you're coming to your place. Amen. Songs of Solomon chapter 5 verse 2. Two different places in the scripture this morning. I also want to go to Ephesians chapter 5. Song of Solomon chapter 5 verse 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It's the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of night. Now notice, her heart waketh, meaning she's asleep. But something begins to speak to her, and that voice awakens her heart. And Malachi 4 didn't come to turn her eyes back, turn her head back. Malachi 4 come to turn the heart back. But then he says, watch this parallel with Revelation chapter 3. He knocketh. But when he knocketh, he said his head was filled with dew and the locks with the drops of the night, which Brother Ram says, remember that comes in the morning. So here we are in a setting at the rising of the sun. There's a voice speaking to a woman and her heart gets turned back to the original faith. Amen. My head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. Now Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14. I sleep, but my heart waketh. Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee a light. And Brother Ram told us that whenever Paul wrote this, he was talking about the church was sleeping in the denominations, but he awakes her and gives her the light. Now I want to read something to you out of the message of the third seal. Brother Ram says this a couple of different places in the message, but he says, that's the reason today that the revivals that we're supposed to have, we have denominational revivals, but we haven't had a real stirring. Oh, no, sir. Don't think we got revival because we haven't. They've got millions and millions and millions of church members, but not a revival nowhere. But the bride hasn't had a revival yet. Now this is the third seal and it's coming. The bride hasn't had a revival yet,
There's been no revival. Now watch the way he says it. There's no manifestation of God to steer the bride yet. We're looking for it. It'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. The bride hasn't had a revival. There's been no revival, no manifestation of God yet to stir the bride yet. We're looking for it. It'll take those seven unknown thunders to wake her up again. I'd like to speak from that on the awakening of the bride. May the Lord add blessings to the words. You can be seated. The awakening of the bride. How many believes there's an awakening going on? How many believes you're part of it? I'm certain most people does not realize the lateness of the hour that we're living in today. If men understood the lateness of the hour, they would be a whole lot more sincere than what they've ever been in their lives. But I'm certain that our nation doesn't see it. I'm certain our government doesn't see it. They've had denominational gatherings and they've gathered church members by the millions. But Brother M was asked the question, and he tells us, when he asked the question, he says, "Sirs, what time is it?" And it's because Brother Branham was referring not to the natural clock upon the wall. He wasn't referring to a watch that we wear on our arms. But Brother Branham was referring to what the bride is looking to today. He's referring to the scriptures that's been allotted for this hour. It's because the scripture has promised there would be some things take place. And that God would come and he would interpret his word that has laid here for thousands and thousands of years. And we know that God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. He interprets his word by manifesting that word. So it's going to take the manifestation of God to wake the bride up, to get her to realize who she is in Christ. And we see that in the day we're living in. We see scriptures coming to fulfillment. So rapidly things is materializing. Even today, scripture's materializing right before our eyes. And Brother Ram tells us in the message, proving his word and anointing ones at the end time. He said the word is coming to life now. And he's referring to the Antichrist. How if the Antichrist is coming to their position and the church members are coming to their position. And he says that the word's coming to life because the Antichrist is fulfilling their part of the word. But the Antichrist is fulfilling their part. And the Pope is fulfilling his part. And the church members are fulfilling their part. Somebody has got to be awakened in this day to realize that we are now living in the manifestation of every scripture that has been promised in this day. My friends, I believe that God is bringing the bride to a place of maturity where she sees herself in the Word. And you and I, as the believers, we see the scriptures are coming to life. Even as Jesus could stand in the temple whenever he would take and he would stand up and take the book and he would open that book and he begins to read Isaiah 61. And after he gets done, Jesus says, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled." It's because what he had seen in written form has now come in manifestation form, embodied in a man standing there. Understand that God needs your hands. God needs your eyes. God has no feet but your feet. He has no arms but your arms. And Brother Man said, he has no voice but your voice. We can't expect denomination to give voice to this message. We cannot expect the Antichrist to give voice to this message. But somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to become it. Somebody's going to manifest it. We understand the scriptures are coming to life. In so much that we understand that those that has been asleep has to be awakened. And then we know that Brother Bram tells us that even in the book of Genesis, how that Adam there, of course, when God had created the sun, God says it's good. God creates the moon, God says it's good. God creates animal life and botany life. And when God creates it, God says it's good. But when God looked at man and seen that man was by himself, God said it ain't good for man to dwell alone. Because only thing Adam was, he's a reflection of what God was in the heaven. Adam was upon the earth. Now remember, within God was attributes. Amen. Within God was his attributes, Redeemer and Savior and Healer, all these attributes lay within God. And if God's going to perfectly reflect himself from heaven, Adam's got to be a reflection of what he is in heaven on the earth. Now we know, of course, that when they get there, how that old sly serpent, Brother Bram says, he comes into that garden and he takes Eve and he actually defiles her. Now, had Eve stayed with her prophet's message, she would have never had been deceived. Had Eve stayed with Adam's message, she would never have fallen. But the problem is, she went listening to another voice. And when she went listening to another voice, the voice began to tell her, you shall be as gods. Brother, they was already like God. They was already in the likeness and the image of God. But here come another voice into the garden. And the scripture says in Genesis 3:6, and when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves a religion. So they've got a religion. But notice, God doesn't just give up on them, and God doesn't just stop dealing with them. But God shows up in the garden. And the Bible says they heard the voice of the Lord. God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Notice once they hear him, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees. And then we see, because they hid themselves, the only reason they hid is because they heard a voice. Now, that's the book of Genesis. But then we find the book of Revelation, according to Revelation 22, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Brother Bram says it like this in the church age book. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The corn of wheat, the bride wheat that fell into the ground at Nicaea has come back to the original word grain again. Praise God forever. Oh yes, listen to the authenticated prophet of God who appears in this last age. What he says from God, the bride will say. The Spirit and the prophet and the bride. Everybody got the order? The Spirit, then the prophet, and then the bride will be saying the same thing. And what they will say will have already been said in the word. They are saying it now. So whatever the Spirit is saying, the prophet is saying. And whatever the prophet is saying, the bride is saying. So we see a voice that come into the garden in the book of Genesis. But then at the end of the book, glory, at the end of the book, we see another voice. And I want to say this, it's the same voice that came into the garden is the same voice in the end time. We understand that the voice of God, whenever it came into the garden there, notice how what takes place is because there's a voice. Now they are hiding themselves because there's a voice. And then we know that Brother Bram tells us that how that this Eden there was cursed. Satan comes into it to defile it. But then Brother Bram tells us that you and I are living in an Eden. Amen. And we know that we're living in what Brother Bram called Satan's Eden. Paul talking about it in Galatians 1:4 when he said who he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And then Brother Bram told us and he says, notice and watch Brother Bram state in God's power to transform. Satan's purpose. We seen God's purpose last night was to have a bride of his own choosing. But Satan has a purpose. And Satan's purpose from Eden was to make himself his own Eden. To exalt himself above the stars of God, according to Isaiah, and would worship him. Sons would worship him. And it has absolutely carried it out now. Just keep watching. Satan's Eden, he tells us, there was no death in that Eden. There'll be no death in the new Eden. There was nothing else but holiness and purity and eternal life. But unbelief in all God's word has brought the seed of unholiness in Satan's Eden. And we're now entering to where Satan is taking the throne as the Antichrist. and it's Eden on earth. It's an Eden of sin, which is unbelief. It's an Eden of sin. It's a perverted religion. Been no revival yet. There's been church members, millions on top of millions, but there's been no revival yet. Oh, and how he's brought his kingdom in every age. And now in this great deceitful age, he's ready to take his throne by his people. He has built himself. Watch this now. He has built himself an intellectual, educated, scientific Eden. That's right. Scientific preachers. Scientific church. Scientific theology. Everything scientific. Everything is on the basis of knowledge. The whole church is built on knowledge. It ain't built upon faith. He's built himself a scientific Eden. He's built himself a scientific church. Everything is scientific. He builds it on knowledge besides faith in the Word of God. Even today, out of all these years, they have a church called the Church of Scientology. And the reason why it could not come to manifestation until Satan brought his scientific Eden upon the earth is the only time he can have a scientific religion. Amen, somebody. And we see how that Satan set his headquarters up in Hollywood. And notice who's propagating that trash is the movie stars of Hollywood today joining up with that scientific Eden. Brother, it's a lot easier to believe in science than it is to have faith in the revealed word of the hour. Now, I've been waiting about 3 years to preach this, so I'm a little wound up. You'll have to excuse me. But it's a scientific Eden, and I want to say this, it's Satan's Eden, and I want to tell you, it surrounds us. It surrounds our family. It surrounds our children. We're surrounded by it on our job. Everything we look at is unbelief and doubt and scientific education and theology. Everywhere we look, we see it. Brother Bram said, it took God 6,000 years to build his Eden. Amen. And now Satan has had 6,000 years to perfect his Eden exactly the way he wants it. Brother M says it like this in Christ and Mysteries, only in just a little foundation. He said, we see those great threefold revelation. God in Christ, Christ in the church, the kingdom coming. Watch now. The kingdom coming. Adam and Eve redeemed back to the Garden of Eden in the representation of Christ and his bride. And then the kingdom is going to be restored. Hallelujah. The kingdom is going to be restored. That's according to his promise. So we see that Satan has an Eden. But there's another Eden that's coming. And Brother Ram said, it's a promise that God's going to take us back to that Eden. Remember when Adam and Eve was in the garden, they was there to live a millennium in the Garden of Eden. But Satan came in and he interrupted that millennium. But God's going to take you and I back to a millennium reign. And we're going to live in the presence of God for 1,000 years. And Satan can't interrupt it because he will be bound. For instance, he's not bound with a long chain, but he's bound with a chain of circumstance. He has nobody to work through. There's a kingdom that's coming restored by the promise of God. Oh my, Brother Ram said it's a promise. As a matter of fact, your body's being prepared right now. Brother says like this in Future Home. Notice he said heavens and earth is met. God and man is reconciled. A restored Eden has begun. See, all the curse is gone. Now watch the parallel he uses. Just like the curse of sin is gone, when the Holy Ghost, look at the next word, accepts you. See, you don't accept it. Glory, somebody. This is God's purpose now. You don't accept it. It accepts you. Oh, if our young people can only wrap their hearts around that to realize God must accept your faith and you believing his promise. That's the reason Brother Randall said God wants to give it to you worse than what you want to receive it. He wants you to receive it. He's longing you for you to receive it. He puts it before you week in and week out, service in and service out. He puts it before you and he longs for you to receive it. See, he accepts you because it's God's attribute. It's the Holy Ghost that means God's Spirit. And it's the attribute of the Father God has accepted you because you were ordained to that purpose. Yet you was born in sin. Yet you was born in sin. But God had that attribute. He always had that thought for Adam. God had that attribute in here. You expressed yourself on earth. And He comes down and gets you. Amen. He comes down. There's a decision to get the bride back to where she belongs at. You're back here. Here's where you belong. Sin lost its power. Oh, I love that. He said, that's right. The desire of sin is done gone from your heart. When the Holy Spirit comes in, you are a restored. Now, if this is Satan's Eden, and we know that it is, we realize that Satan comes in the form of deception. Because notice what's going on. Satan is here seeking whom he can devour. And he's trying to pull away everything he can get his hands on. He's going forth deceiving. And I want you to notice, he's got all these church members, but he's not satisfied with them. He's got all these denominations, but he's not satisfied with it. He wants you. Don't you see the surge of unbelief that's coming against us today? Believing this message, don't you see what it is? Satan has become dissatisfied with what he's got. He wants the redeemed of the earth. He wants those that are full of the Holy Ghost. He wants those that believe an authenticated message. We're the redeemed of the earth. We're the redeemed of the Lamb. We're the redeemed of heaven. We're the redeemed of the throne. And that's who Satan wants. He wants Adam's bride. I said he wants Adam's bride. So he slipped underneath the garden gate in Eden. And he come in and he deceived Eve. Amen. And when he come in there, he deceived them and they made themselves their own religion. No doubt that pleased Satan. Because that's what he wants. That's what he wants. He wants them to try to save themselves, cover themselves, build their own educated religion. Brother, it was only theology. It was only a mindset that covered them. Understand, creeds, dogmas, it was a religion, a mindset, a theory that covered them, but they wasn't covered by the word of innocence. After they fell, of course. So there's nothing more important. But whenever God came into the garden, God began to speak to them. And because of the voice, they hide. They hide. It amazed me because Brother Ram said that God come down into the garden. He come running and screaming through the garden, saying, Adam, where art thou? Not Adam and Eve, come on somebody. But Adam, where art thou? And when he said Adam, he was talking to both of them. He was talking to both of them. But think about that. God is, as we found out last night, he's omniscient, he's all knowing. But God comes into the garden and he asks, is Adam, where art thou? He knows the beginning from the end. He knows every time a flea bats its eye in Egypt. He knows every hair that's on your head. But he asks them, where art thou? God knows where Adam is, but God wants Adam to know where Adam is. And then they hear a voice, and they hide because there's a voice. And I want to say this, there's nothing more important than the voice in this hour. His voice is the voice of truth. His voice is the voice of justice. His voice is the voice of freedom. His voice is the voice of emancipation for the bride. It's what wakes us up. Now, Paul said, there's a lot of voices. What's the problem is he tells us in the voice of God in the last days. And the voice of God, they say, how will we know it's the voice of God? Because for today, then it was the vindicated prophet. Glory. It's pretty simple. How do we know it's the voice of God? Because it's the manifestation of the prophet's word. You know what Jesus was? He was a manifestation of the prophet's word. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. And here he comes as a manifestation of the prophet's word. That's God's prophet, a true voice of God. Only brings back the real living supernatural God with a supernatural world and a word and a supernatural manifestation of the true word. What's it going to bring? A true supernatural manifestation. It's been no revival yet. It'll take a manifestation of God to wake her up. Then we know it's the voice of God around said, because see, there's so much other in other realms that just almost deadens that out. But remember, it'll glisten, it'll come forth, it'll do it. So there's going to be a voice, but not just one voice. There'll be other voices that come behind after that true authenticated voice. There'll be other voices that tries to deaden out. Oh, come on, somebody. That'll try to deaden out the voice that God sends to wake the bride up. That's why we are fighting what we're fighting today. All these voices are trying to deaden out His voice. They're trying to deaden out what God has sent to us by the way of a vindicated prophet. Whenever Eve listened to the lie of the serpent, it deadened Adam's voice to her because he was speaking to her. And that voice was deadening out everything that God had said to her, everything that Adam had spoken to her. Another voice comes and starts deadening out that voice that God had sent unto them. Amen. It was a voice. It was a voice that drove them from God's presence. Going somewhere, hang on. It was a voice that drove them from God's presence. Think about it. A voice took them out of the presence of God. If a voice took them out of the presence. Come on, somebody. If a voice can take you out of the presence, it's going to take a voice here in the end time to wake the bride up, to bring her back to the presence of God in the hour that we are now living. The voice affected them in the garden. It had a physical, glory, had a physical effect upon their beings. It made them recognize. Listen again. It made them recognize their true condition because they hid themselves from that voice. It brought an impact upon their mortalities. It brought them into a mortality realm. It brought an impact upon their lives. Until then, they was fine. And until then, it was perfect peace and joy and all that. It lay there. But when that voice came in and deadened out the voice of the word, they began to change. And it took them out. Amen. What made them hide, Brother David? It was the voice. I said the voice did. They heard the voice and they hid from it. They heard the voice and they hid themselves from what God was saying in the garden in the cool of the day. The voice makes them aware of their condition. The voice made them aware that they was naked. They didn't realize what they had done until the voice, oh, I'm preaching prophetically. Hang on. They didn't realize what they had done until the voice came. But brother, when the voice came, it brought them to a recognition of what they have fell from and what they should have been. They made their own religion because they listened to this voice. Amen, brother and sister, that's why you can't hide nothing from God's presence. Amen, you can't hide nothing from God's presence. You know what Brother Ram said? They'd come across the prayer line and Brother Ram said, now you can't hide nothing from Him right now. You know why? His presence is there and you can't hide nothing from it. Because the all-seeing eye knows everything about you. Knows every part about you. He knows us. Like that sister that went up into the prayer line and she was there. She's about two or three people from coming in front of the prophet of God. And the person that was in front of her came in front of the prophet of God. And he said, I see you got a habit that you've been smoking cigarettes. And when he said that, the girl that was behind her realized that she'd been smoking cigarettes. And as she went in front of that prophet, he was going to call out what she'd been doing wrong. And her mom and dad was in the building. And if he tells her what's going on, they're going to find out she'd been smoking cigarettes. Because they couldn't hide nothing from that voice. Glory! So that girl bowed her heart. She said, Lord, I want you to forgive me of that. I accept your forgiveness by the atonement of your blood. And then she came in front of the prophet. And the prophet never picked it up on her. I said the prophet never called it out on her. It's because Brother M said what you put in the seed of God's forgiveness, God didn't even show it to his prophets. Brother Branham can't pick it up because it was in the seed of God's forgiveness. And Brother Branham couldn't even see it. How fast can God forgive you? Just as quick as you can ask Him. Amen. Satan to make you think you got to do certain Hail Marys and jump through this loop and that hoop. Brother, he only takes you as a believer to put your faith within that blood and ask God to forgive you and God to put that in the sea of his forgiveness, never to hold it to your account again. I challenge you to believe that today. I say that because people beat themselves to death for mistakes they had made. Let me preach here. Come on now. Satan beats people to death because of mistakes they made 20 years ago, a divorce they went through 15 years ago. And I want to tell you that God is mindful of you. And your divorce ain't going to stop his purpose. You can't stop it, brother. I said you can't stop it. God's already purposed it. Amen. Take that, devil. Because if you let him, he'll make you feel lower than a snake. Amen, somebody. He'll make you feel so low. He'll make you feel so insecure if he can. That's nothing but his voice trying to deaden out what I'm saying to you this morning. Even while I'm speaking this, things will come to your mind. Hey, preach, Brother David. Brother, he's here today. Things will come to your mind. Things will be reminded of what you've done, mistakes you made. But I want to remind you, that's only your humanity pulling those things up. God forgot it the moment that you asked him to. It's that deadening voice that we're dealing with. Trying to deaden out the voice of the word. That's why I preached what I preached last night. Because Satan wants to deaden that voice out. Amen. Now, the question would be then, just hang on just in a few minutes. The question would be, what is the voice of God? Now, we know that the voice of God is a thunder, right? We've seen God display this thunder to Moses in Exodus 20 and 18. For the Bible said all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain was smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Now watch, thunderings and lightnings and a cloud. When it comes down upon it, the people recognizes. Listen, brother, I said, anytime there's thunder and lightning, it's not a sign of mercy. He said, it's judgment. So the people stands afar off. They wasn't drawn nigh. They were scared of it, Brother Ram said. They were fearful. They was fearful of that thunder. You know why they was fearful of it? They didn't understand it. Oh God, I just said a mouthful right there. They didn't understand it. And they spake and said unto Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not God speak unto us lest we die. Notice the people heard a thunder, but they didn't hear a voice. But it took, oh, what's the principle of the scripture? What's this principle laid out? It took the prophet to interpret what the thunders were saying. It took a manifestation of God in a man. It was just noise to the people. They couldn't understand it. But the prophet understood what the thunder was saying. That's the way it came in this day. People don't want to hear it still yet today. Amen. I said they refuse to hear it. They rejected it. They don't want nothing to do with it. Amen. They're fearful of it because they don't understand it. But God's got a little Rebecca. That's saying, Eliezer, tell me more. Tell me a little bit more about my Isaac. Tell me a little bit more about my inheritance. Tell me a little bit more what God has ordained for me to have in this day and this hour. Paul picks up this account in Hebrews 12, 18. He says, for you're not come to the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words. The voice of words. Which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could, watch now. They could not endure. Think about Laodicea. They could not endure that which was commanded. Woo, glory. That's the problem. They can't endure what the voice has got to say. because they want to build the church their way. They want to build it on some emotion. They want to build it on some sensation. When God puts His promises upon His Word, faith has to have a foundation, and the foundation is God's Word. Paul knows now, he says, they could not endure that which was commanded. Paul went on to say in verse 25, Hebrews 12, 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh, for they escape not who refuseth him that spake on the earth, and much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. What's verse 26? And when the voice shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signify the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Think about it. It's a shaking time. Amen. It's a shaking time, but yet not only a shaking time, it's a removing time. But it's also a remaining time. There's going to be those that are shaken. There's going to be those that are removed. Preach, Brother David. But then there's going to be those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. He's telling us there's going to be somebody who's going to believe that voice. Somebody's going to stand behind that word. Somebody's going to say amen to it. And that's why Brother Ram would always come and he would sing that song. Nations are breaking. Israel's awaking. The signs that the prophets foretold. Gentile days numbered. Of whore encumbered. Oh, return. Oh, disperse to your own. Now watch what Brother Ram is saying. He's seeing the prophetic picture. He understands, according to the scripture, that the fig tree is putting forth its buds, which is a type of spring coming. It's a type that the seed is awakening. Come on, somebody. And he sees that the fig tree, which represents Israel, it's awakening. They got their own money. They got their own military power. They got their own flag that's been restored. What's happened? Israel's awakening up. May the 6th, 1947, Israel woke up. But Brother Ram says, notice, May the 6th, they become a nation. May the 7th. One day later, God doesn't deal with Jews and Gentiles at the same time. And one day later, Brother Ram said, I was praying in the cave, and the Lord come and met me and commissioned me to bring this message. Now listen. If the fig tree's putting forth its buds, it's coming to life. It's literally coming to life. It's awakening. And then God sends on May the 7th, he tells a prophet, what is he doing? He's bringing another awakening. It's the end time, and Israel has got to come to her place. But brother and sister, notice, before they can receive their two messengers of Revelation 11, you and I have got to be awoken by the voice of God in this Eden we're living in. Well, man tells us in God's Eden, watch this. In God's Eden, without one stitch of clothes on them, they knew it not. For why? They didn't know it, for they were veiled to their senses of nakedness by the holy veil. They didn't know it, but they were veiled by the Holy Spirit. He says, they could look right at each other, and they didn't know that they were naked. But listen to say, they were veiled with the Holy Spirit. Watch the parallel. If they was veiled by the Holy Spirit to make them innocent, when it comes to this Eden, God sends back the Holy Ghost. He sends back the Holy Spirit, and He accepts you. And He hides you behind the blood. Well, glory. Look what they had in the first Eden. They had a veil by the Holy Spirit. And here you and I are in the end time. And God sends back the Holy Spirit upon the church and down for the ages. Everything, the caterpillar, the pomer, the camel, they begin to eat away. But brother, so when it comes to the last age, Joel said, I'll restore. I will awaken, saith the Lord. He sends back the Holy Spirit, and you and I receive that, and we get plunged beneath the blood of Christ. Remember, God asked him, said, who told you was naked? I didn't tell you was naked. Come on, somebody. I ain't the one that told you this. Who told you that? Listen, friends, their mistake was listening to the wrong voice. They was naked. And then we come to Satan's Eden, which is Revelation 3:17. Is that right? Revelation 3:17. He's not coming now in this Eden. And he's not asking them, are you naked? He's telling them. The voice is telling them, you're blind, wretched, miserable, naked. But the problem is, they're blinded by what he's telling them. Notice what they're seeing about themselves. Notice how they see themselves. Watch this. Notice how this church is looking at themselves. Because thou sayest, they say, I'm rich and increased with goods, and I have no need of nothing. But then he tells them, the voice tells them, don't you see what this message has done? Don't you see, as Brother Randall would preach against the women stripping their clothes up, it's only a spiritual time. That was what was going on in the spiritual realm. They're spiritually naked. Well, knowest that not, that they are wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked. It was to this age that God sent the voice. And they didn't have to be that way. God didn't make them that way. They didn't have to remain that way. You know what the prophet said? The Rabbi said, God don't condemn you for being a sinner. He condemns you for remaining. Hallelujah. Now watch. They heard that thunder. It moves from Sinai. Samuel heard that voice. And 2 Samuel 22 said, the Lord, capital L, capital O-R-D, the Lord thundered from heaven. And the Most High uttered, oh, that word right there. Remember, Paul picks it up in the book of Hebrews. He said, he's talking about Melchizedek. He says, I got many things to say that's hard to be uttered. He said, but the problem is the people was on the milk, which means they are unskillful in the understanding of God's word. He said, but remember, he said, the meat belongs to them that are full age. He said, as high as Most High uttered his voice. What did he utter? His voice. Look what the thunders came to. The thunders came to Samuel, which was a prophet. It came to Moses, which was a prophet. And then we find that thunder pick up in St. John 12:27, where Jesus was here as the Son of Man. And remember, he was Son of Man, which represents King Theophany of the earth. Amen? Because he tells us that that Melchizedek that came to Abraham, he said that Melchizedek became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek wasn't Jesus. He became, you see the condescension? He became Jesus Christ, King Theophany. The Bible says, John 12:28, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it. Oh, glory to God. I both glorified it. But let me just prophesy. I'm going to glorify it again. Now remember, the cornerstone is what the builders rejected. But the corner has become the headstone. Understand, it's the same ministry. It's the ministry of the Son of Man is what they're rejecting. But he prophesied, I glorified it, but I'm going to glorify it again. In other words, he's telling us that Jesus the man glorified the Father when he was manifested in the flesh. Say it again, Brother. It was Jesus the man glorifying the Father when he manifested the Word of God, the Scripture in human flesh. It was a manifestation of God and it was fulfilling the Word. But I'm going to glorify it again, which Brother Ram said is talking about the last days. That's what Brother Ram told us in the first seal. He said, I've glorified it, that's Jesus, but I'm going to glorify it again, that's the bride. He's talking about the bride in the end time, right? If he's going to glorify it again, He's not only did he glorify in the Son, but now he's going to glorify in his bride. Remember, brother and sister, Brother Branham is part of the bride in the end time. A lot of people want to try to separate him, but Brother Branham is part of the seed. He's part of the seed that was in the field. He just happened to be the first one that come to maturity. I'm sorry, I'm in another dimension right now. I didn't even realize if you was taking it in or not. I thought I'd look up and see if anybody's understanding what... I'm going to glorify it again. Now notice, brother, the Paul said that the woman is the glory of the man. So Jesus comes in this hour by a voice. What's he looking for? He's looking for his bride. Come on, somebody. That's the reason the scripture said, he said, notice, I'll show thee the Lamb's wife. His what? Not his girlfriend. Come on, somebody. Not his fiance. Let me show you his wife. And a wife receives the seed of the husband. Let me show you the ones who's received the word of God for this day. Hallelujah. Not the kitchen, not the living room, but when you come into that holy place and she's received the word for this day. And I'll show you a virgin. Amen. I'll show you a virgin created by the spoken word. First Eve doubted it. The last Eve can't doubt it. First Eve was deceived. I'll show you Eve in the end time that can't be deceived. I'll show you the first one brought forth a polluted seed. I'll show you one in the end time that's going to manifest the pure seed of God's word. Hallelujah. The first spoke a hybrid message. Amen, somebody. But the last Eve, the spirit and the prophet and the bride is just saying the same thing. You see it? Now notice, let me finish this up. John 12:28, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified, I'll glorify it again. And the people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said it did what? They heard a thunder. Now watch, they heard a noise. Friends, it thundered the first time. Think about it. If it starts with a thunder, preach, Brother David, if it starts with a thunder, when it comes to the end time under the glorification, again, it's going to have to be a thunder. Glory. To wake the bride up. That's when Brother Ram came to the seventh seal. He said, notice it thunder. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He said, it sounded like one thunder. Seven seals come open under the thunder. And so much Brother Ram said, it sounded like one. Because it was consecutive nights. I said it was consecutive nights. First seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal, right on down until you get to the seventh seal. But notice, in between the sixth and the seventh seal, there's a gap there. Right? There's a gap there because you've got question and answers. Amen, somebody. Oh, preach, somebody. But after the gap, Brother Branham comes in after the gap, after the breach. And he preaches the revelation of the seventh seal. Amen. And Brother Bram comes out and says, it's mute. It's mute. And I'm going to tell you that's scriptural. It was mute. Because John was going to write it. Come on, somebody. But the angel, the voice from heaven said, John, don't write it. Preach, somebody. It was silence. It was silence. And the people therefore stood by and heard it. And notice, he said, John, you're going to hear the thunder, but don't write it, John. I want you to seal it up. What do you want me to do? Seal it up. John was commissioned by the angel to write what he saw. And he saw symbol after symbol after symbol. But when the thunder began to utter its voice and John looked, John was going to write what he was seeing. Amen, somebody. Think about that prophetic. Think about that prophetic. Because you get Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? You get lion, ox, man, eagle. And that's the reason why when you read the book of Matthew, it tells the genealogy because that's the way you would do a king. you tell him the genealogy of where he come from. And it tells you, and it props him up to make you understand that he's a king. But then you move from Matthew right to Mark, and you come underneath the ox, and then you come to Luke, which represents the man. And notice he was, remember, when you read about Mark, Mark, when he writes about Jesus, he writes from the mindset of the servitude of Christ, how he was a servant, how he became obedient. But when it come down to John, John represents eagle. And John started his message not with the genealogy of a king, but he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why was the prophetics of an eagle to look back and see the Word? Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Don't write it, John. Seal it up. Oh, don't you see what I'm saying? Seal it up. How long? Seal it up until the days of the voice of the seventh angel. You see where I'm going? What's he doing? Glorifying it again. The voice said, I have glorified it. How? In the life of a man called Jesus standing there on the first pool healing, second pool prophecy, third pool. Amen. Hey, glorification took place and produced Hebrews 13:8 in the life of a man, showing us the same angel that met Abraham and Sarah and told them what Sarah was doing in the tent behind him. It was that same voice. It was that same God. Oh my. And he come in the man Jesus, and the Father glorified him. Brother, that's the way God done it the first time. And that's the way God done it the second time. Will it not be the same pattern that God's going to do in the end time? He's going to send a voice in this hour, and the bride's going to recognize that voice, and she's going to put on the clothes of that Word. Father, glorify thy name. There came a voice from him. I just can't get off of it. There came a voice from him saying, I both glorified and glorified again. The people there have stood by and heard it, and that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake. Watch verse 30. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. That's what did this voice. Tell me, why did the messenger come? It came for our sakes. The message come to call us out of church. The message come to wake the bride up in the end time, because this message is to get you to see, to recognize who you are. Don't you see that's Revelation chapter 3? In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus was standing outside the church. He was outside his own church. Why? They pulled him out. They rejected his message. And they put him outside the church, and here Jesus was knocking on the door. He said, Brother David, he's knocking because he wants back in. I don't believe that. He ain't knocking because he wants in. He's knocking because he's calling you out. Why would he want to go back in something that's already rejected him and turned him down and crucified the effects of the Word of God? I tell you, he don't want back in the Laodicea church. He don't want back in that church. They turned him down. I believe Revelation chapter 3, the one that was knocking on that door is the same voice that came through Matthew 25, which at the midnight there was a voice that cried out. Amen, somebody. I said there was a voice that cried out. And the scripture says, go you out to meet them. The original says, come out and meet them. And I believe that same voice is the same voice of 1 Thessalonians 4:16, which is the shout. And I believe that same voice of Revelation 3 that knocked on that door is nothing but the fulfillment of Revelation 18:4, where the scripture said, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Not me, come in, but let the elected seed, let her come out. Come out of her, my people, and be ye not partakers of her sins, that you receive not her plagues. Come out that you don't fall in the judgment with her. Moses called Israel. Moses called Israel out of the bondage of Egypt under the first Exodus. Amen. You know what God said? God said, I've heard the cries of my people and I've come down to deliver them. And so Moses, when he went to Pharaoh, Moses come underneath that same anointing as a prophet and heard the voice of the thunder from heaven. And Moses come to Pharaoh and he said, don't let God's people go. but let my people go. Why? He was speaking for God to bring his people out of bondage. Brother, if that's the first Exodus, what about the third Exodus where the bride was in bondage under creeds and dogmas and denominationalism? But God sent a voice and he said, come out of her, my people. John 12:30, Jesus answered and said, the voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. I'd like to know what it's going to do if it's for my sake. Verse 31. Now as judgment come to this world. Watch this now. Now remember, it's judgment to the world, but it's grace to the bride. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this Eden, this evil world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Watch what he's doing. He's showing a conjunction. This voice came not for me. It came for your sakes. It come to cast out the prince of this world. For the word cast out means to drive out, to send out. What's the definition? It means to be deprived of the power and influence he exercises in the world. He's holding him accountable because he's trying to deaden the voice. But when you hear the word, you start awakening to who you are. And he casts out the prince. When you recognize that voice, the prince of this world is stripped from his abilities. You believe that today? He literally loses his power over you. Brother, clear the runway. We're fixing to take off. He loses his power. That's the reason he can't get to my seed. He can't get to my seed. He's been stripped of his rights and he can't get to my seed. Amen. We had a voice come in this age and he trailed that serpent from the garden. He trailed him all the way through Babylon. He trailed as he come across the flood. He trailed him all the way into the book of Matthew, Mark. He trailed as he come all the way down to the church. He trailed him right through Nicaea, Rome. He trailed him. And he kept trailing as he come over that spiritual river Euphrates. Until he landed out here on the coast. And he trailed him there. Remember, Abraham said he crossed the English Channel? And he trailed him through there. And he found him whenever he set up his headquarters. Out west, he trailed him there. He trailed him. It isn't no wonder if that's where his headquarters is set up. When Brother Branham stood there that day and he threw that rock up in the air, which was an action. And the reaction from that going up was an earthquake. And it ran up at San Andreas Fault. And it didn't stop there because it wasn't time yet. But it ran up the coast all the way up into Alaska. And it almost sunk Alaska! But the prophet come and choosing the bride. And he says, thus saith the Lord, Los Angeles is going to sink. God's going to take the headquarters of hell. And he's going to put it under the ocean. He trailed the serpent. And he starts unveiling the enemy before us. First seal, second seal. He starts unveiling him as a wild horse rider went forth. And he appears to be like Christ. He appears to be pure. He appears to be the Word. But when the prophet heard that thunder and he began to look at it, he said, he's only an impersonator, the real. Whew. And that's not Christ, but that's the Antichrist riding. Because had it been Christ, he would have had power to destroy. He had a bow, but he didn't have no artillery. Do you know why? Because Jesus stripped him at Calvary. Glory! He stripped him away and he has no power. He can't get to my seed. It's already sealed and he can't get to it. I said it's out of his reach because the prince of this world is being cast out. Oh my, let me quit. And then Paul picks it up in the book of Acts and says he journeyed, he came near Damascus and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. And heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, You mean that same one that went to Calvary? He went there that day at Calvary. 50 days later, he shows up on the day of Pentecost. 50. And he come down the upper room, and you're trying to tell me that's that same Lord? I said, that's the same God. And that's the same voice that was glorified. Now he's coming under the manifestation to glorify it again. Then he picks it up in Acts 22, repeating what he just said. He said, I fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Notice, not Paul, Paul, but under that old name he persecuted him. Glory! Because Paul couldn't have done it. Amen. Amen! Paul couldn't have done it! And the answer said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth. Glory! Whom thou persecutest, and they that were with him. Now watch the scripture. They indeed saw indeed the light. And were what? If it ain't to them, it brings fear. Just like it was on Sinai, they was afraid and they stood afar off. But now it comes to Acts and he said, and they were afraid, but they heard not the voice. They saw light, but they didn't hear the voice of him that spake to me. Something's going on. They're scared. They see a light, but they don't know. They don't understand. There's no comprehension. Just like Sinai, they heard the noise of a thunder, but they didn't want God to speak. So Moses had to speak. See what God was saying. He's saying something only that Paul the prophet could hear what the voice was saying. It only made sense to Paul what the voice, what the light was saying. When Jesus was there, the people heard the thunder. They didn't understand him. He said, you cannot understand my words. You can't hear it because they don't have ears to hear what it's saying. It was just a thunder. They didn't understand it. People hears this message that's been spoken. And some people, all they hear is noise. All they hear is clatter. All they hear is just something that it don't have a distinction. There's no articulation to what he's saying. It don't really make sense. You listen to the tape and I heard this story and that story and he quoted this scripture, but I don't understand it. But let that elected seed. Let her start listening to that voice. Oh God, she starts saying, I see something. Mama, that's me. That's me. I'm the one in the mirror. That's me. Hallelujah. It's the voice that transforms us. It's the voice that awakens us. It's the voice that takes us to our position. It's the voice that lets us identify who we are. Oh, and I'll tell you, I'm hearing the same way John heard it. For John heard that voice. He said when he heard that voice, he said, come up hither. I'm hearing the same voice today. Come up hither. Come up higher than denomination. Come up higher than Laodicea. Come out of her, my people. I heard a voice. I said, I heard a voice. I heard a voice. My grandfather was in Brother Bram's meetings. And he heard his voice. My daddy was in Brother Bram's meetings. He heard a voice. But brother, I'll never forget it when I heard the voice. It's that voice that changes you. It's the voice. The voice has transforming power behind it. For it's not man's, think about Brother Bram's statement. It's not man's power to transform. But Brother Bram titled his message, it's God's power to transform. Never make your transformation tied to a man. It's always God's power to transform. And you heard this word and God starts putting clothes on you. Anytime it's the true voice, it always puts the clothes on. Think about when Brother Bram was in Africa and those blanket natives come there. But when Brother, watch the spiritual application. But when Brother Branham began to preach, he said those women begin to cover themselves up. You know why? Because the true voice always wants you to put the clothes on. Don't let that pass you by. Let it pass you by. It made them clothe themselves. What did it do? It awakened them that they was naked. Glory. That's what this message did for you and I. It made us realize that we was naked and blind. Oh, but we heard that Matthew 25 call. And we begin to take the clothes of the word. And we begin to put on the wedding garment. You believe that? I trust. Because the voice is the voice. You and I are living here. And Satan's eaten, and Satan has deceived thousands. I said he's deceived thousands. Thousands on top of thousands of church members. But out of the church is coming a bride, which is the chosen out of the chosen. It's the elected, the purpose of God out of the church. Amen. And John picked it up and he's seen it. He was on the Isle of Patmos. John seen him in Revelation chapter 1. He said his hair was white like wool. His eyes was like flame of fire. His feet like brass that's been burning a fire. John saw him as he was in the middle of the candlesticks. He was standing in the middle of his church. But by the time it got to that last age, according to Revelation chapter 3, they had taken Christ and shoved him outside the church. But I want to remind you, when John heard his voice, he said it's the voice like the sound of many waters. Many waters. He's standing in the middle of the church from Paul's age to the last age. He's standing there and he's never been left without a witness. That's the reason whenever the Luther come and he preaches justification, the people begin to manifest the message that Luther was preaching. And when Wesley began to preach, the people manifest the Wesleyan message that he preached. And the gifts was poured out on Pentecost. But we've come higher than that. Oh, I wish I had time. I'd read you a few quotes. We've come higher than that. We're not up that Laodicea church. Brother Bram said, we've come higher than that. We've come to the bride age. Amen. We're justified by believing it. Amen. And Rebecca hears Eliezer's voice and she becomes awakened to realize that she's got something to do. I can't just sit around. I got something I got to do. I've got to go meet Isaac. And Brother Bram said she got on the same camels that she had watered. And he said those camels represent the power and the power represents the word. She was riding the word that she watered back to meet her Isaac. How did he get her attention? I said it was a voice. Have you caught the message? Well, we ought to be the happiest people in the world. It ought to make us rejoice. It ought to make us shout. Brother, this is the message of the hour I'm preaching to you. It's because of that voice we're not like everybody else. It's because of that voice that we're not found naked. It's because of that voice we have not been found unclad. It's because of that voice we're ready to meet the bridegroom. I heard a voice. Think about this. Think about this. I quit. I'm quitting. Eve received her identification. She only becomes separate identified from Adam only after she fell. Is that right? According to the scriptures, she was called Eve, but she only had her separate identity after she fell. She turned down the voice. Amen. Originally, her name was Adam. But now she has her own identity. And notice that took place because of the fall. Oh, but when you get to the end time, here is a bride that is standing, that begins to hear a voice. And now this voice ain't bringing you as a separate identity. It's actually bringing you back to your original identity of the last Adam. That's what the message does, is it brings us back one again. You know what Brother Bram said in the message proving his word? He said, remember the bridegroom call, Matthew 25, the bridegroom call will come through this message. And he said, what'll happen? The headstone does descend and it'll take and it will unite the two back together again. We're in Satan's Eden church. And Satan snuck underneath the wall in God's Eden. And now here comes Christ and he comes under the wall in Satan's Eden. And he comes, and let me say this, he comes into Satan's Eden, and there's Miss Baptist, Miss Methodist, Miss Presbyterian, Miss Catholic, all these, but I want to say this, he's not looking for them, he's looking for Miss Jesus Christ. So God come down in Satan's Eden, and he beat Satan to his wife. Why? He put the seed inside of you, and he sealed your womb, and Satan can't get to you no more. She's taken on his identification, she's taken on his seed. There's an awakening going on. I said, there's awakening going on. Let me close with this. Brother Bram said, recognizing your day and its message. What do? They want a great awakening. They're crying, believing they'll be awakened. They're good people. What is it? What have they done? They've not recognized. They've not recognized. You can't recognize unless you've got something that can see it. They've not recognized the awakening of the bride. Being a Christian, they feel the pull of the hour. They haven't recognized what's been done. That's what's making them feel that way. They know something's supposed to happen. They're looking for it way off in the future. when it's already happened right by you. And all I can say is this. Brother Brown preaches these outstanding messages I've read from this morning. And he comes and preaches a message, who's this Melchizedek? As the musicians come. And he clarifies it. And makes it so simple that anybody can understand it. And he said, it's like that story I told of that little eagle down there in that barnyard. Brother, elementary children can understand that. Why? You just got to have eyes to see. And he starts talking about that little eagle in that barnyard. The problem he had was the condition he was born in. Amen, somebody. It took him from his original birth of what he should have been by the spoken word. Amen, somebody. Eve should have brought forth children by the spoken word. Is that right? But because of the fall, it interrupted our birth. It dethroned us because of sin. And we come and we was born in this pest house. We was born in this barnyard. But I've glorified it, and I'm going to glorify it again. And at a certain season, at a certain time, when God knows you'd be born. Oh, glory. He knows you'd be born. What'd he do? A desire come upon him to go find his seed. I mean, find his youngin. So Mama Eagle got to flying around. And I'm sure she's seen a lot of chickens. She's seen a lot of denominations. But one day she flew over the right barnyard. Where the right seed was in that barnyard. And Brother Ram said that eagle began to scream out. What could that eaglet say? I heard a voice! I heard a voice! And Brother Ram said what he heard in the heavens was only a reflection of what he was on the earth. I heard a voice. I heard a voice. And then Brother Ram says this, this is Melchizedek. And when you recognize this message to be eagle food, you left that other thing. You come out of her. You left that other thing. You heard from your theophany. But Dave, what is my theophany? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's your word body that Paul picked up in the book of Corinthians. He said, it's that body which was eternal in the heavens. It's a body that's eternal in the heavens. It's a body that's eternal. And you recognize when you heard that voice that you got something that's not born in time. You got something that identifies you in eternity. What's everybody else doing in the barnyard? Running for their lives. Isn't that what some of your family did when they said that you said, I heard a voice? They start running for their lives. Said, you ain't nothing falling to cult. You're a bunch of man followers. And I said, you didn't hear the same voice I heard. You heard a Kentucky and I heard the voice of God. I heard a voice. I heard a voice. And Brother Ram said, while he was in the barnyard, he said he was always plucking, looking for another worm, another beetle, another bug. Come on, somebody. You know why? You're trying to figure out why this don't taste good. Ooh, glory. Trying to figure out why I can't hardly stomach this trash. I can't understand why I can't stomach Trinitarianism. I can't understand why they baptize in titles. I can't stomach it. But when the voice sounded, you went from looking at the earth and you started looking at where you come from. Woo, glory. Amen. You start looking at where you come from. Heaven. Heaven. I heard a voice. Stand our feet. Oh, I heard a voice. I heard a voice. And Brother Brown tells us in the rising of the sun, he said that voice that that eagle heard was the voice of the resurrection. What did it do? He said, remember, brothers and sisters, there's two resurrections that takes place. There's a general resurrection of the dead, but there's a spiritual resurrection before that takes place. Where the bride gets resurrected out of dark denominationalism. He said, oh, what a resurrection that was, but what a resurrection this is. What are we resurrected to? Remember, redemption has two parts. I gotta quit. Redemption has two parts. You come out of, you go into. We come out of denomination, we go back into that word body. Hey man, we go back to our original identity. Ooh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm amazed that you love me. Can we sing it together? God bless you. Love you. Appreciate you. Can we sing this together before we go? Brother, I don't know about you, but it's overwhelming to me that I can see my place in the Word of God. Amen. Brother, when I begin to feed upon this strong meat, it does something to my soul. What is it? Ain't nothing less than that third pull. First pull of healing has to do with your flesh. Second pull, which was discernment, discerned the spirit. But Brother Ram said that third pull went out and got the rainbow trout. That covenant trout, remember, it was already had the covenant on them. And he pulls in a rainbow trout. That's what caught me. That's what caught me. And Brother Ram said that third pull was the opening of the word. What was that? It was those thunders that John heard underneath Revelation 10, 1 through 7. John wasn't going to write it. He shouldn't write it. Why? Because God's going to send a voice here in the end time in Satan's Eden. And that voice is going to awaken the bride by a manifestation of the word inside the lives of a people. Amen. Let's sing it together. I'm amazed that you love me. Well, I'm amazed that you love me. Glory to God. Lord, I'm amazed how you can. Well, through your precious blood. How many's found it today? Oh, where am I sins? Well, they're all washed away. Oh, I want to tell him one more time. Why don't you just spread your wings, little eagles? Amen. Well, I'm amazed, Lord, that you love me. Yes, I'm amazed how much you can through your prayer. I love you, Lord. Thank you for this great message, we believe. Oh, and my sins are washed. Well, they're all washed away, all my sins. Oh, I want you to tell him again. Let the devil know. Lord, I'm amazed. Yes, that you love me. Lord, it's amazing to me how much you care through your precious blood. There's been days when I failed you. And Lord, you know the many times I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness. Amen. And your ear is open every time I pray. All singing now. No one ever cared for me like you, Lord. Oh, no other friend has ever been this close to me. Amen. I'm not afraid to face the problems of Laodicea, knowing you are everything I'll ever need. Yes, I'm amazed, Lord. Oh God. Amen. Well, through your precious blood. Brother Joel, would you sing Multiply? They're all washed away all my sins. I'll sing it one more time. Lord. Multiplied. Yes, I'm amazed. Yes, how much you care. Oh, through your precious blood. Through His blood I've been pardoned. Amen. And my sins, they're underneath the blood in the sea of His forgiveness. All my sins, they are washed away. Oh, hallelujah.
God of mercy.
Yes, He is.
Sweet love of mine.
Have you surrendered to the voice?
I have surrendered
to your election,
to your desire.
Oh, yes, Lord.
May this offering,
yes, Lord God,
cross the sky. And these hallelujahs be multiplied.
He began to worship God. Amen.
God of mercy,
yes,
sweet love of mine, be multiplied. I have surrendered to your desire. May this offering stretch across the sky. These hallelujahs be multiplied. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky. These hallelujahs be multiplied. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your desire. May this offering stretch across the sky. These hallelujahs be multiplied.
Well, God of mercy, sweet love of mine,
surrender to your desire. May this offering stretch across the sky. These hallelujahs be multiplied.
Let's just remember the service. Wednesday night. Appreciate Brother David's service. All right. We're going to sing My Theophany. Let's sing this. Then you can go this morning.
Oh, one day I'm going to take a step toward my theophany. One day I'll take another step into my theophany. One day I know the final step. It's going to set me free. My theophany, I hear it calling me. Well, it's a calling, come up a little higher into the perfect word. Oh, come up a little higher into agape love. Come up a little higher, soar through the heavenlies. My theophany, I hear it calling me. Well, don't you worry, little children, should death knock on my door. Death is but a doorway that leads to that heavenly shore. Over there is no heartache, no sorrow, grief, nor pain. Just perfect love, peace and joy beyond compare. One day I'm gonna take a step toward my theophany. One day I'll take another step into my theophany. One day I know that final step, it's going to set me free. Oh, I hear it calling me. It's a call and come up a little higher into the perfect word. Oh, come up a little higher into agape love. Come up a little higher, soar through the heavenlies. My theophany, I hear it calling me. With the next hill I look and I see victory. Around the next curve in the road, that old devil's gonna have to flee. God's army is marching onward to slay that old enemy. Around the next curve, I see Jesus is coming for me. One day I'm gonna take a step toward my theophany. Day I'll take another step into my theophany. One day I know that final step, it's going to set me free. My theophany, I hear it calling me. God bless you. You're dismissed this morning.